name's Will. I'm also part of Hope Community, married to Sophie. And a special warm welcome to you if you're new this morning or visiting. But yeah, a warm welcome to you. I thought, rather than it being sort of an egotistical rant about Hope Community and all that we're doing, I'll say that with the massive logo behind me, but I thought we'd just pause and I would share a little bit about what we're trying to do, what we, as a community of Christians on the Oz estates and serving those estates, are attempting. We're an imperfect attempt at a Christian community. But I thought just to maybe it would be helpful for all of us maybe to unpack some of Jesus' words and get a glimpse of what we're trying to do, but also something that might encourage us as a wider church as well. So if you've got a Bible, I just want us to look at for a brief moment, Matthew chapter 4. I'm sure we're familiar with it. Jesus calls his first disciples, page 968 of the Church Red Bibles. And it's Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Like I said, we aren't here to sort of, I guess, tell you how it is and what you're supposed to be doing, just to share a glimpse of what it is that we're trying to do and what we feel like God's calling us into. So I'm just going to share some thoughts from this passage, and then Jean and Peter, two of our other members of Hope, are going to share their testimonies as well. But essentially, the overriding thing is all we're trying to do is just be good disciples. We're trying to be good disciples of Jesus. Sounds very easy, but I thought let's just unpack a little bit. What does that mean? What does that look like? What does a disciple of Christ live and do? As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. So the first sort of words I just want to focus on were those simple words, "follow me." I'm sure we've heard them all many times before. There's lots that could be said about these small but amazingly powerful words. Notice it's not a list of rules. Jesus doesn't ask them to sign a statement of faith. He doesn't ask them to tick box certain beliefs or to work out if they're compatible. Small, simple, uncomplicated words. Yet we all should know that these pack the biggest punch of words that we could ever hear. They're the most life-altering and crazy consequences to these words. Jesus calls us to follow him, not merely accept him or believe him, not just to worship him, but to follow him. So it's clear from the outset, either we follow Christ or we do not. There is no room for compartmentalization of faith. We either make him Lord of all of our life or deny him and restrict him to be Lord of nothing. All of this is difficult. I'm sure we all know it. We're all walking that path and we know the ups and downs. Furthermore, it's an interesting time to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple. Those of you who are following the news will know that there are more and more increasing clashes between Christians, individuals and churches and culture. Those of you like myself, a big rugby fan, may have heard an Australian rugby player called Israel Folau, who 3 weeks or so ago posted a very controversial, probably not a wise thing to do, but posted a statement on social media and got a huge backlash. He's been fired from playing rugby for his country, for his club, and he's now in a trial to be fined as well for voicing some of his beliefs. Other rugby players have also been drawn in as well for standing up for him and saying that they too are Christians. Last month there was a street preacher in London who was arrested for breaching the peace for sharing the gospel. Others may have heard of an Iranian man who converted to Christianity from Islam after discovering that it was a far more peaceful religion. His experience of Islam was one of hostility and aggression, and he converted to Christianity. He claimed asylum in the UK, but it was rejected on March the 19th. The Home Office wrote this letter in response saying, The claimant's claim about Christianity being peaceful is false. These examples are inconsistent with your claim that you converted to Christianity after discovering it's a peaceful religion, as opposed to Islam. Your faith contains violence and rage, the letter reads. I don't want to comment on whether I think these are right or wrong. Now's not the time to do that. But we should always know that culture will always throw stumbling blocks in the path of a disciple of Jesus. We will always encounter obstacles. There will always be resistance. What I'm saying is, for a myriad of reasons, being a disciple of Jesus in today's culture is not easy. So at Hope, we recognize this. We recognize the peaks and the troughs of being a follower of Christ. We recognize the difficulties that culture throws us. And we want to do it together. The aim is to follow Christ as a community of Christians. We recognize that the cost of discipleship is great, but the cost of non-discipleship is even greater. So Jesus calls us, all of us, follow me. We don't know what he's calling us, where we'll go, but we know that he will be with us. So when Jesus, the Son of God, looks at us and says, follow me, we must listen. And not only that, but we must respond. So how then do we respond? Verse 20, we see Peter and his brother dropping their nets and immediately following him. Even as Jesus begins his message, he doesn't gloss over the cost of being a discipleship. And even just a few verses before, in verse 17, Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That Greek word repent can also be translated abandon or to renounce. In a world where everything revolves around me, perfecting me, comforting me, feeding me, promoting me, preserving me, entertaining me, comforting me, Jesus says we must die. That self must die. At Hope, and I think out of the passage, we recognize that often we are in far more danger, particularly in our comfortable culture of being lured in to being safe, than we are of being reckless. Leaving everything behind, just like the early disciples did, doesn't make sense until you know who it is that's calling you. It's not until you know Jesus. So do we know him? Do we know Jesus Christ? Because once we do, it's the only thing that makes sense that we drop everything and we follow him. Jesus is clearly and absolutely worthy of more than just nominal adherence or church attendance each week. We cannot reduce Jesus to some sort of puny savior who's just begging for people to accept him, as if Jesus needs to be accepted by us. It's us that desperately need to be accepted by him. Jesus is worthy of total abandonment and adoration. We see this throughout the New Testament, the early church and disciples leaving everything behind and following him. This is no game. We're not talking about Jesus Christ, Savior of the universe, righteous judge of all nations. This is God in the flesh, and he comes to you and me and says, follow me. It may seem intense, but there isn't any room for a casual response to this. It's either we turn and run, or we bow and worship. At Hope, we want to remind one another the call that Jesus invites us each day, follow me. Lay down your nets, leave behind those things, follow me. As a wider church, we want to encourage one another to consider what our response is to those words of Jesus is, in order that we might leave any distractions behind and follow him wholeheartedly with reckless abandon. Finally, Jesus' words in that passage, I will make you fishers of men and women. So biblically, right from the start, being a disciple of Jesus means that we make other disciples. One of my heroes of faith, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I'm sure some of you have heard of him, was a German theologian and pastor in World War II. And in Germany, it goes without saying, the late 1930s was an unsettled place to live. It was fairly nerve-wracking, particularly for those in the church. Many weren't sure of what was going to happen and what they were to do to respond. But Bonhoeffer felt a weight to start a seminary, a theological college out in rural Germany, away from the sort of the cities, and to take some young leaders who could respond as the church to this imposing threat and evil. However, Bonhoeffer was from quite a wealthy, middle-class family, And the expectation was that he would get married, get an appropriate, suitable job, settle down, and have a family. Obviously, he didn't follow that path, and his brother is sent out by his parents to go and persuade Bonhoeffer to come back and to get a proper job, to get a real job. However, Dietrich takes his brother and says, "Follow me, I just want you to come with me 2 seconds." And they go out from the theological college, and they get in a boat, and they row across this lake, and they walk up about 10 minutes up this hill. And the top of the hill, there's rolling fields, and out in the distance, they see a huge camp. And he says to his brother, "That camp is a Nazi youth camp. And if I don't disciple these young people, someone else will." The same, although extreme, the same is still for us. We are all disciples of something. We all follow. All we have to do is wake up in the morning, and you are a disciple of something or someone, whether we realize it or not. There are thousands of voices, many of us hear them each day, calling us to follow me. But at Hope and as St. Francis, we want to make sure that we're following the one voice that matters. So we want to lead people to Jesus. We want to be disciples who make disciples, to do that lovingly and sensitively, and lift people's eyes gently to the Lord and Savior. And often this takes time. We're learning that it's a long road, and I'm sure you'll know it too. Discipleship is a long, faithful journey on a road. In the West, in our country, we don't do long, sort of faithful roads very well. We want to microwave everything, or even nowadays, we want to Amazon Prime it. Just click it, instant, to see that sort of surface level change and transformation. Because it's easier than getting stuck in the mess and the muck of somebody else's life. But at Hope, we've often found that people on the estate and those around us, their question on their lips is, "Will you still be here when I fail or get things wrong? When the things get tough?" So be disciples who make disciples, who stick with people through thick and thin. The call is there for everyone. Jesus' ministry is bookended by this. Disciples who make disciples who become fishers of men and women. And at the end, we know those famous words in the Great Commission. "Go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations." It's bookended by both this call. So to be a disciple, undeniably, means that we will also make disciples. There isn't any opting in or out. This is what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. Now, there are many ways in each of our uniqueness that we go about this and that we go and journey alongside people. We share and embody and communicate the gospel in different ways. We make disciples in our own unique, God-given ways. There is diversity about how we go about it, but there is unity in our purpose that we go and make disciples of all nations. So there's just some thoughts. What we're trying to do as faithful disciples in Hope. It's probably not that new or radical or fresh for you, but we feel like it does contain world-changing power within it. To be a radical and obedient disciple of Jesus will inevitably change myself, change those around us, and change the world as we know it. So we try to follow, we try to leave our nets, and we try to fish. Let me just pray for us. Jesus, thank you for your words. Thank you that you call each of us. Thank you, Lord, for coming to earth and showing us what it is, what it means to love you. Lord, there's many of us that feel like we don't have much or nothing to give. But we know that we have you, that you are with us, that we have your Spirit, we have your Word, that you've gifted us. You call us new creations. You call us fountains of life. Thank you that it's not a matter of our personalities or confidence, but it's a matter of faith. So, Father, help all of us in all of our walks, wherever we may be, to be better disciples that love and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.